This show is in loving memory of Dr. John Palmer, who passed on October 20th, 2015.
Hi, everybody. It's John Palmer.
This is Anthony Chiffo.
And this is Listen Up.
Jesus is on the air.
Amen. And this is Michael Crawford singing Spirit of the Living God. Listen up.
Spirit of the Living God, fall fresh on me. Spirit of the Living God, fall fresh on me. Melt me more.
We're just two laymen. We're not priests. We're not theologians. We love Jesus. And we're doing what Bishop Murphy has encouraged us to do. That is, evangelize Catholics.
Actually, we're two young kids. But our hearts are on fire for our love for Jesus. We want to share that love. We want to spread that love. We want that love to go out throughout the whole world. Because Jesus really wants us to love him back.
It up, Jesus is on the air.
Yep.
Well, now that we've settled down, Tony,
okay.
let's see if we can just let the people who are listening know what we're going to do today. So, first of all, I'm going to interview you.
Absolutely. Don't be too rough on me, please.
Yeah, well, we can't have people listen to us hearing unseen, or whatever you want to say.
Okay.
You know? But and then you're going to interview me.
Absolutely. I got all the questions all ready for you.
Oh, my gosh. I'm worried. Yeah.
I'm prepared for you.
I feel like I'm going to be under attack. And then after that, I'd like to play a song. I love Palmer Pascal. She did so many nice musical songs, and she has one song that's just appropriate for the show. It's Let Me Introduce You to a Man, and of course the man is Jesus, and it just kind of tells about the theme of our show. And I know you're going to do Saints Alive, and because that's going
absolutely
to be part of our show each week. We have saints that we want to talk about, and then after that I'm going to do Healers Alive. Because there are healers who are alive, either alive physically or alive operating from the other world, and miracles happen and healings happen. And then we're going to have Marita Doherty. And Marita's here already looking so anxious to get on the show and can't wait to talk about her ministry, which is Prayers on Wheels. And some of the healing experiences she's had, not only through Prayers on Wheels, but over the years. All right? So why don't we listen to Palmer Pascal first?
Palmer Pascal wrote a song where she introduces you to Jesus. Listen.
Let me introduce you to a man with his hands scarred and his eyes filled with love. God had sent him to the earth to die with his arms wide like the wings of a dove. This man forgives, this man he lives, he's here for you to meet today. This man is home for life eternal, the Son of God. He made the way. Let me introduce you to his love with his power to renew and to heal. Even though he's not a man you see, he is living, he is present, he is real. This man is kind, this man is gentle. There is no sin can defeat.
Isn't Palmer Pascal something? Her music, her words, we lost her to cancer just this past year, but her music and her words are just so appropriate and fit the show. That's what we're doing. We're introducing people to Jesus. And you know what? We're Catholic. We're Roman Catholics who are nuts and fully in love with Jesus. That's us, isn't it? Isn't that who
we're
we are?
We're in love.
Can I ask you before you start talking to me, how did you get involved? How did Jesus take over in you? What happened?
Jesus took over when I was about 12 or 13 years old. And, you know, I was a...
I think that's him on the phone, too. Keep talking.
He could be calling. But, you know, it's an amazing thing because one of your angels happened to be praying over me recently. And she says to me, you know, when you were a child and you were didn't feel good about yourself, Jesus was there and he changed you. And I couldn't understand what she was talking about. And then I realized up until the fifth grade, I was a chubby kid. I weighed 124 pounds in the second grade. I'm a twin. I don't know if you know I'm a twin. He's a little better looking. And
I certainly hope so.
And they wanted to skip him in the second grade, and they didn't because of me, because I wasn't smart enough to be skipped. And so I had that stigma with me all this while until finally in the sixth grade, for some reason I lost all my weight. I thought that because I lost the weight, I took the blockage out of my brain, and I became the smartest kid in the class. I was in my teacher's, what she called, the cream club. And all of a sudden, things happened. And I started going to church. I started seeing the infant of Prague. I started getting devoted to him. I started going to church every day. My father was asking me where I was going every day. He didn't believe I was going to church every day. And that's the way it started. And I met a lady that was becoming a nun. She came over to me. We became friends. And she walked me home every night. And this went on and on until I became a businessman. And then all of a sudden, I started drifting away. And then I realized, for some reason, I got involved with the Blessed Mother. And I started going to her novena on Monday night. And sure enough, slowly but surely, she introduced me to her son, Jesus. And Jesus just started taking over very slowly, very calmly, very, very, so gentle. And finally, he won me. I fell in love. And so...
Does your wife know?
Oh, yeah. She knows.
She's in love, too, isn't she?
She's in love, too.
You know, and that's something for us to realize. This show is about falling in love with Jesus. Yes. That's what it is.
And Jesus' story is the greatest love story ever told.
You better believe it.
I firmly believe that. And when I talk to people, and maybe they might see the figure in my eyes and stuff, but when I talk to people about Jesus... He's a great guy. I can do anything if I have Jesus with me.
That's right. And you're going to talk to a lot of business people
yes.
who feel the same as
oh,
you do
absolutely.
About Jesus.
And next week, we're going to have an amazing, amazing story from Sarah and Teresa.
Sarah Ryan and Teresa.
Teresita. It's an amazing story. I don't want to give it away, but I just tell you this. It was inspired by Jesus, is what they tell me. Jesus told them what he wanted her to do. He told her who the partner was supposed to be and what he wanted in the store. This was 5 years ago. Today, they have 5 stores.
I know.
And they're working on something else, which is going to be amazing. So.
And notice, you're there with them, helping them from a business perspective, a Jesus-centered business perspective.
Yes, and so that's our mission statement, that Jesus wants to get involved in all aspects of our lives. It's not just going to church and saying, oh, Jesus, thank you for doing what you did for me. It's Jesus going home with you, Jesus being with your family, Jesus being with your business, Jesus being in every aspect of your life, and he wants to. You're not annoying him. You're not being a nuisance. I can tell you that I've had so many problems in business and stuff like that, but when I knew that Jesus was with me, I addressed them very calmly, and that's not my character. My character is to be excitable, but I knew that Jesus was going to lead me one way or another into a different direction.
And isn't it amazing how he does? He touches you.
Absolutely.
You know, people don't realize they're touched by God, by Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, by God the Father, and even by the Blessed Mother. And they're not even aware of it until later.
He's so gentle. It's like a gentle breeze. I always describe it when I talk to him. You know, he's not coming like a king on a white horse, like a dominating and a conqueror. He's coming gently, like a breeze in your face. And he's just so gently reminding you, hey, I'm here. Come to me. Come to me. And all we have to do is accept him. He's a good friend. And isn't it so awesome to have your best friend's father being the creator of the universe.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. And he is a good friend. And I cry every time I think about it. So I think I have to...
Well, let me get some tissues for you. I'll be right back.
Okay.
And this is the section of our program that's going to be a regular section, where we bring on the saints who in many ways have touched our lives and are models for us. And today, Tony has chosen the Queen of all saints, chosen the Blessed Mother. Tony, why don't you tell us a little bit about your devotion to the Blessed Mother?
My devotion to the Blessed Mother started many, many years ago when I was below my teenagers, when I was 12 or 13 years old. I certainly had a distinct instinct to pray to the Blessed Mother, to go to her novenas on Monday night. And slowly but surely, she just turned me over to her son, Jesus. But not so quickly, not so rash, not so hurriedly. It was a slow process. I developed a devotion to the Blessed Mother that I thought she was so wonderful. And although she's my heavenly mother, I also looked upon her as my mother. And this continued to my working days until I finally started my business. And I suddenly start losing track of the Blessed Mother and my devotion. And then one fine day, I decided to go back to the novenas to the Blessed Mother. And I think she welcomed me back with open arms, and again she nurtured me and slowly but surely brought me to her son Jesus. And her son Jesus didn't hurry to try to get me into his fold or anything like that. He just slowly and slowly brought me in, and like a slow gentle breeze in my face, and until finally the Blessed Mother just presented me to her son, and we became fast friends. And a love affair that developed with myself and Jesus was phenomenal. And the peace he instilled in me and the love that he's given me has gotten me through all these years. But let's talk some more about the Blessed Mother. The Blessed Mother, because of Mary's humility, piety, faith, and the role as the mother of our Savior, as well as the trials and tribulations that she went through. Let's remember that Mary, who went through all the trials and tribulations of a parent, of a mother, she saw her son grow up. She lost her son in the temple. She saw her son crucified, saw her son suffering. She is truly a mother of mothers. And because of this, and because of her humility, and because she was accepted the angels, God's request to be the mother of Jesus in such a humble way, the world pays tribute to her. The Catholic Church has established several different doctrines to honor the Blessed Mother. The dogma of the Immaculate Conception teaches us that Mary was born without original sin. And so that means that God knew that he had chosen Mary before she was even created to be the son, the mother of her son. The dogma of the Assumption, in which the Blessed Mother was assumed up into heaven, body and soul. And also, Mary was conceived as a virgin. And so all these things are true in the Catholic Church. And the people of the Catholic Church pay tribute to her, and pray to her, and give her reverence, second only to Jesus. And she appears to everyone, and she's not beyond speaking to any one of us. It's a great way to getting to Jesus, to our Blessed Mother. Okay, Dr. Palmer, or John, as you like to be called, first of all, it is an honor to interview you, and you do have quite a large following. And I'd like to know, how did all this start? How did you become so involved with Jesus?
I didn't have any friends.
You didn't have any
friends? I didn't have any friends.
But
I was alone a lot, and I didn't have friends. And I was going through tough times in my life. When I was very young, I was 9, my father died. And 3 months later, my baby sister died. And my mother was left with 5 children and no money. And we had to pull ourselves through a lot of trials. My sisters left school. My brother left school to support the family. And we just went on from there. And I remember going into church and saying, well, my father's gone, God the Father, so I'm going to adopt you as my father. And later on in life, when I was really close, he said, you know, you thought you adopted me, but I got news for you, buddy. I adopted you. And that's really what happened. A number of years ago, I was over at a conference in Scranton, Pennsylvania. And everybody was going to adoration of the Blessed Sacrament. I'm Catholic, and I believe in true presence in the Eucharist. But I was not really turned on by adoration. I used to see people go there, and I went, I tried, but I would fall asleep. And but I went at this conference, everybody was going, so, you know, I had to fit in, so I went. And what I heard in my heart when I sat down, if you let me, I'll turn you inside out and upside down. And I'm, you know, Tony, you know I'm a psychologist, mm-hmm. and I'm saying, I don't like hearing voices. But I heard that. And from that day on, I made a commitment to try to go to adoration at least daily for an hour a day. And as I did it, words started flowing in me that I would write. I make no claim as to what they are or who they're from. They're meditations, if you want. Thoughts, things for people to consider. They relate to my life, but I know from what others have told me, relates to their life and their relationship with God as well.
Absolutely. I can attest that when I read your books, it sounded like Jesus was talking to me.
I had a nun in the West Coast who told me, for 60 years I've been praying to Jesus, and now when I read your material online, I feel like Jesus is talking to me.
Absolutely.
Now, and you may, those who are listening may think this guy is nuts. And I don't know how to tell you this. I don't care what you think. I really know I am nuts. And I'm in love with God. And I'm open to whatever God wants to do in my life. And God has such a way of being intimate and personal with us. I remember, Tony, one day, I told the story many times, going over to prayer time and being very angry at God and really letting him have it with what was in my heart. And I heard inside of me, not a voice, but words form. My, aren't you testy this morning? I'll come back when you're feeling a little bit better. Can you believe that? I mean,
that's Jesus.
Can you believe he's that personal?
I believe it.
You know, and that's the Jesus
that's
we're
going
to try and. That's right. We're trying to get that across to everybody.
That's a friend.
He's a friend, and God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit dwell in us. That's what our church teaches. And if we could just learn to become airheads, and shut up, and look for God within us. We may find a treasure that we never even knew was there. It's really surprising. That's where I am. That's how I've been growing.
Oh, you have.
And that's what I've been doing.
Let me ask you something, John. Jesus talking to you.
Well, yeah.
Or
its form.
Or its form. What type of form is it? Because so many people that I've spoken to, some of them say they speak to Jesus or Jesus speaks to them. And I say to myself, they're special because I don't hear any voices from Jesus. I get thoughts in my brain and I think Jesus is telling me that way.
That's
but
it.
Not a voice. And
no voice. That's exactly it.
Is that it?
That's exactly
oh
what it is.
Oh, my God. That's magnificent.
Yeah.
That's
We made a convert, folks. We made a convert here.
That's right. I'm going to
live on the air. You heard it first on WGBB.
Oh, so now I could say when I get a thought in my head that Jesus told me that. Is that correct?
You've got to be a little careful about that because sometimes those words come from God. Sometimes they come from you. And sometimes they come from the Satan, devil. And you have to learn to discern. And he'll teach you how to discern. I remember one time, I don't want to go on too long, but I remember one time he gave me some words, and I said, I'm throwing away. And I heard inside, how do you know you're not throwing away my words? Well, I said, I guess I really don't. So, you know, help me. Well, I'll tell you this, and maybe this is something that will help anyone who's trying to discern. If you throw away my words, and they really are mine, I'll send it back to you many times, loud and clear. Louder each time out. And if they're from the other guy, I'll toss them away. You won't ever hear them again. But there's a third source of words, and that's our own selves, our own thoughts, and our own wishes. And that's a hard one to discern. I tell people, my wife died last year of brain cancer. And for a year and a half, we prayed. And I was convinced by the words I was getting, she was going to be healed, miraculously, somehow or other. And then she died. And I really questioned God. I said, wait, what did you do? You promised. And he said, look at your words. You wanted that so badly, you were forcing your words into my mouth. Yeah. And it doesn't work that way. And in your words, I told you I would heal your wife my way, not your way. And so that you know when she died, as you were saying the Hail Mary, it was now and at the hour of our death, amen, she died. And a few seconds later, you heard in your head, John, it's beautiful here.
Mm.
And that was me, through your wife, confirming in you that all that you believe is true. That's where I am, Tony.
Wow. So, can I ask one more question, John?
No, you can't.
Oh,
no, go ahead. I'm teasing.
I'm curious about your healing services when you pray over people. You've prayed over me not many times, but you've prayed over me, you know, 5-10 times, and everything that you told me was like awesome because it was true. I mean, one time you told me to squeeze your hand as hard as I could, and that's how much Jesus loves me. And I couldn't figure it out. And then after I sat down I spoke to my wife, and I said, you know, I go to St. Aloysius, and I pray to Jesus, and I hold his hand, and I squeeze it as I'm praying. Jesus told John that? Is that what Jesus was talking about?
I can't explain it. I don't know. It's not. I don't do anything.
Another time, before I was going for my...
I'm not guilty, is what I'm saying. I'm not guilty. I didn't do anything.
But the day before I was going for my cancer test, he says to me that Jesus says it was going to be a piece of cake.
Yeah.
And the next day,
I remember,
in the doctor's office, a guy came over to me. His name was Anthony. You heard my name was Anthony. He says, Anthony, that's a great name. And then he went into the office, and he came out, and he says, Anthony, this is a piece of cake. I said to Joan, did you hear what he just said? What is going on here? And I'm a believer.
Well, you know, we're all called to lay hands and pray over people. And the word I get is, don't filter whatever word's forming you. Just say whatever forms you. I do that. I went up to a concert out at Jones Beach, and a woman came up to me and said, Dr. Palmer, you prayed over me a few months ago. And I said, yeah. And she said, I told you I had ovarian cancer, the third stage, and I had breast cancer, and I was going to have to go through two surgeries. And you said that you heard inside of you, don't worry about, and you said, Jesus said, don't worry about the surgeries, you're going to be fine. And I said, oh, I said that?
Yeah, you told me the same thing.
Yeah, I don't remember what I said. And then somehow or other, I asked her, what happened? She said, I went back to the doctor, and the cancers were gone, both cancers, and I didn't have to have surgery. That's Jesus. I told her, she's thanking me. I said, I didn't do anything. I didn't even know anything happened. I just said whatever God said, or whatever I thought God was saying, and I don't filter stuff. Now, you know, I don't know what else to say. People call that a word of knowledge. I have so many words. I'm so talkative. You'd think I'd shut up every now and then, but I don't. Tony, we got to move on with the show. I think people get a sense of me, and whether they whether we've lost half our audience now or not, okay. I don't know. Okay? right. Find out.
So let's move on.
Yep. Sister Breege McKenna is a very, very special woman. She's in Florida, and she has a wonderful healing ministry. And I'd like to tell you a little story about her. First of all, how she was healed, and secondly, how she got her healing ministry. She was a sister and at Mass in a wheelchair because of arthritis. And she was on a retreat, and she wasn't looking for healing. And she came up to the altar, and she closed her eyes, and she could feel the light of the priest as he was going around healing her, healing people, praying for people. And she could feel this bright, bright, bright light. And she wanted to open her eyes and thank the priest because she felt such warmth in her body. And when she opened her eyes, the priest was nowhere near her. And she still felt the warmth. And she was healed of her arthritis. And she got up and she walked. And she was freed from that physical affliction. And then she wondered, why is this? What's going on? She was at a retreat. And at the retreat, she heard inside of her, Breege, I want you to heal people. Now, she's Irish, and she said, no, I don't want any part of that. Take your healing gift. I don't want this. And Breege, I want you to heal. No, thank you. Thank you. I'll go on with my life without that. And she did. And then a few months later, she was at another retreat, and it was breakfast time, and a Protestant minister came up to her. And she said, and this prod said to me, Breege, God wants to know why you won't accept his gift of healing. She said, what are you, a mind reader or something? How would you know? How would you know that he's... Well, God wants to know. And she accepted her gift of healing. And her reputation is worldwide. And she's had so many people who have healed. And she does the healing through true presence in the Eucharist. And she goes with Father Scanlon, who goes around the chapel, the church, while she's announcing petitions. And through the presence of Jesus in the Eucharist, people are healed. Now, that's not so unusual as you think. Priests do that today. They pray over people. I was at a charismatic conference in New Jersey where Monsignor Malagreca walked through thousands of people with the monstrance. And people received healing, not just physical healings, emotional, spiritual, mental healings that they never, ever, ever thought possible. So there really is some truth, a lot of truth, to the fact that Jesus heals today as he did yesterday and will always do. And we certainly know that healing takes place today, and we hope even for those of you who are listening. Tony, why don't you tell people about this?
Well, we would like to spread the healing practice out to you people out there. You have a petition. We'd like to know about it. Just email it to us at listenup1240@aol.com. listenup1240@aol.com. Send us your petition. Send us your request, or send us a prayer, or tell us what you would like us to do, and we will respond through email. But most importantly, we will pray for your petition and praise Jesus.
Amen. Marita Doherty is an old friend of mine. We've done workshops together on healing. We train people to pray for healing. And more than that, she has a wonderful, wonderful way about her. She's been trained by Francis McNutt and so many other people, George Maloney, so many people who have touched her. And she has such a gift. And we're so happy that she's here on the first show because we want to emphasize healing. Welcome, Marita. Welcome. Welcome.
Thank you, John. Welcome. Thank you, Tony. I'm so happy to be here. It's such a wonderful world. It's such a wonderful world because we're in the world of healing. And God heals every little thing and everybody. I'll give you a quick little summary of how I got into this. When I was a little tiny child at 7, my father was a doctor, and he was in diseases of the chest. And on Saturdays, when I wasn't in school, our home was on the grounds of this big 250-room hospital. He'd take me and we'd make rounds. And we'd go from room to room, two patients in a room. And every patient, he'd say, it could be anybody. Interdenominational, he loved them all. He'd say, now, Mrs. Ginsburg, this x-ray looks pretty good. That lung looks better. And he'd lay his hand on their chest. One by one, on a Saturday, he prayed over 250 people.
Wow.
When he was in college, he wanted to be a doctor. But then he changed his mind, and he wanted to be a priest. And his sister died of TB, so he gave his life to that disease. So at 7 years old, I was bitten with a healing bug. And we went from room to room and patient to patient. And I remember that, and it's followed me all my life.
And your father, isn't he the one who founded the time test?
The time test,
right.
Yeah. When his sister died, he said, I'm going to get to that disease. And he worked with guinea pigs and mice in the Letterly Laboratory and made up the time. And that was a tiny little thing then. It was a tiny little circle. But now that is used still in the third world countries all over the world.
It's something.
Yeah.
Can you imagine putting your hand on somebody's chest, 250 people on a Saturday?
Yeah.
And didn't he have such a record of healings?
He did, John. As a matter of fact, it was that era. It was like cancer then. You know, there was so much TB. People were dying left and right. And at some point in his career, not that long after he started the time test, they did a survey. And of all hospital healings in the United States, and he was also president of the TB Association, he had the highest amount of cures of any TB hospital because he prayed with his patients.
There's an organization called the Association of Christian Therapists, and these are doctors, nurses, just anybody who's in the health and medical field who bring God into the healing of people that they work with. They pray with them, just like your father did. So it's still going on today.
Still going on. But, John, now you're a member of that association, aren't you?
Sure, I was a member of the board.
Good. Well, it's still a wonderful thing. Francis and Judith McNutt were, and the laymans, and Matt and Dennis Lynn, the two Jesuits.
Father DeGrandis was in that.
Yeah, it was a great thing.
So tell us about where you are now in your healing ministry. Tell us what you're doing.
Well, thanks for the compliment. I don't feel I'm in a big healing ministry.
Well, none of us do, but it does happen.
But, it's been nothing but, it's been joy. It's been pain. It's pain because you feel the pain of others when you pray with them and you follow them through their disease. I think what came out of this about 10 years ago, we got a phone call, our prayer group. And it was a phone call from a girl who was a member whose sister was in a coma in St. Vincent's in New York. So two vans filled up out where we were in our church, and we went into St. Vincent's along the expressway, and we got there, and this poor girl, she had every machine attached to her, and she was dying. And there were three Irish nurses guarding the room, and they let us in, and the tubes and everything else, and we started to pray with her. And she was totally comatose. So we left that night, and Amy, her sister, called, and she pulled out of the coma. Now, don't misunderstand that we were the only prayers. There were people praying all over for Mary. She was young. She was a single girl. She was working. Well, she came out of the coma. She was moved from St. Vincent's, from one facility to the other, and we followed her. And we got to love her dearly, and she got to love us. And the last place we were with her was in a rehab out east. And this rehab, all sorts of people, it was all women, all sorts of diseases. So Amy, the sister, a real go-getter, Amy said, let's pray with everybody. We went through the whole home. We had every type of disease, every type of rehab. We had every type of person, religion. We went from room to room to room. And I remember a Jewish woman. She was a ball. She said, oh, this is wonderful. Come back all the time. Come back all the time. So that was just the beginning of what we call, we were on the expressway. And we said, what are we doing on this expressway? We have to have a name. So we called it Prayers on Wheels.
And it's a wonderful ministry that continues today. I'll share that when my wife was so ill with brain cancer, Marita showed up, Tony, with about 15 women.
Really?
And they surrounded her hospital bed. And Roseanne's spirits were picked up by that. And her son was here, and he was touched. And they surrounded each of us and prayed over us and with us. You know, when you get a healing, it doesn't always have to be the physical healing. It can be spiritual, or mental, emotional,
exactly.
Just any way you get lifted
up.
And it's just so, and I was so happy to have all those women, to think that they would take the time.
And they're
and
so
come.
Gifted. Everybody's gifted. But everybody, John, don't you think everybody has the gift of healing?
That's what we're told in Scripture. Lay hands on people.
Mm. Look at the apostles. I mean, we have the Lord living in us.
Mm-hmm.
So we're nothing. All we have to do is use our hands, and they're His hands.
You know what gets me is that the Spirit that is in you, in Tony, in me, and in everybody listening, it's the same Spirit that was in Jesus.
Amazing.
And in the Blessed Mother.
No.
And all people who are saints now, who are just like you and I, people just in love with God,
yeah,
and had the gift of healing. And St. Peter, the gift of healing was so strong in him that people would just try to get in his shadow to be healed, and they were healed.
Exactly.
Oh. Amazing.
And
amazing.
I think so many people, don't you, Tony? So many people that are healed become healers.
Oh, I believe that. Yes. I believe once they were touched with the grace of being healed,
right,
and they find Jesus and they can open themselves to Jesus, yes, I believe they can become healers.
Yeah.
Father Emiliano Tardif,
oh,
it was a wonderful, wonderful healing ministry, mm-hmm, was in the hospital with tuberculosis in both lungs and dying. And these women, as he said, he couldn't speak English, but he a little broken English. These busybody women came in, and they wanted to pray with me. And he said, I'm a priest. What could I do? I couldn't say no. So they came in and prayed over him, and he was healed of his tuberculosis, completely, totally healed. And he had a healing ministry. He went worldwide with his healing ministry. And years ago, I went up to Providence, Rhode Island, to a charismatic conference.
Mm-hmm.
And I had torn my rotator cuff, and I was in pain for months.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to Rose, I'm going up to Providence. What for? I said, I don't know. I just feel I should go. I couldn't even move my arm. She said, how are you going to drive? I said, I got two arms. I'll drive with my left arm. Anyway, I went up there. There were 10,000 people in the Coliseum where they held it. And Saturday night, Father Tardif comes out to do a healing service, and he says, too many people here for me to pray over individually, so I'm just going to raise my hand and say a prayer for healing. As he raised his hand, I felt heat all down the back of my neck and across my shoulder, and I looked around and said, what did they do, finally turn the heat on in this place? And the next morning I got up and my shoulder was healed.
The power of prayer.
Unbelievable.
And faith and believing. I think once you have the faith and you have the prayer, I think that's the power. That's where the power comes from.
But, you know, he also heals people who don't have the faith. Look at what he did to St. Paul. He knocked him off a horse, made him blind, put him in a separate apartment somewhere else, and then sent poor Ananias to go to him. And Ananias saying, but Jesus, he kills Christians. And he went anyway.
Yep.
You brought a number of
Absolutely.
Stories.
I did, John. Okay. So many beautiful stories. And how are we doing on time?
We're fine.
Okay. After Mary and this little ministry started, people began to catch on. And we got a call, great phone, this healing phone. It just sort of emanates that ring. That's a healing ring. Yeah. Somebody's calling us. We were called to a local town not far from our church. This girl had terminal lung cancer. And it was the mother and father-to-be, in-laws-to-be, and she went to different hospitals. They couldn't do anything with her, and she was 30s, a teacher. We went over to the house, about six of us, which is about average when we go on the road, so to speak, five or six. And that's power, because those girls are all healers. They're all so close to God. They make me cry when I think of them. They are such, they come away from healing and say, "Oh, God, I know you're healing her, and he's listening to these beautiful women." So we go over to this house, and she was laying on the couch, and we went in. Her mother was there. Her in-laws-to-be were there, and her boyfriend was there. And we sort of had a feeling. I mean, we all individually had this little cold feeling that this was not exactly what this girl wanted to do. So we're very low-key. So we did say some spontaneous prayers, and we decided to say the rosary. The rosary is always safe. So we said the rosary. Not a movement from this girl. She was closing her eyes. She didn't blink. And finally, at the end of the rosary, she said, "Hail Mary, full of grace." Said the Hail Mary with us. And there was silence. So we went over to her and one by one hugged her. She got off the couch. And we said, "Thank you for letting us come." And she said, "Thank you for coming." And yet there was a look on her face that you knew that the good Lord had touched her. We were going out the door. And she was standing up. And she gave us a little hug. And she went back to her couch. That was a Tuesday. The phone rang and her mother-in-law-to-be called and said she drove herself to her local parish. Called on a priest there, came back to the church, went to confession, received communion, and she died about a month later.
Mm-hmm. So power of God's love.
Power of God's love. Now, the first healing, Mary, was a healing all around. That was a physical healing with Mary and St. Vincent's. Mm-hmm. But this girl was a total spiritual healing. Mm-hmm. And a bishop had just come recently to evaluate us. And everybody in the room that had a ministry gave a little talk. And I waited till last because I didn't know what to say. And then I told two stories, and that was one of them. He turned and he said at the end, he said, "Tell me that story again." And I said, "Which one, Bishop?" He said, "The one about the girl who drove herself to the church." Mm-hmm. Now, he took that whole thing down. And he was more touched with that than all the important reports in the whole room. Mm-hmm.
Because it's the love of God.
Exactly.
Look what you did. You hugged her.
Oh, and you shared
the love in you with her, and she probably felt empty as anything.
I know. And, John, I have my love story. Wait till you hear this love story.
All right.
This was only in September of this year. Every September, we have a Healing of Ancestry Mass. Tony, you've probably been to them, haven't you?
I've been once or twice.
Yeah. Yes. Well, what's so fabulous about it, it came out of a monastery up in Connecticut, written by a priest. The liturgy was written by a priest. And it goes back to all our ancestry. It includes great-great-grandparents. Mm. It's a powerful Mass. So this past September, it was said by Father Gus from St. Killian, and at the end, he prays over people too. Our people, our prayer teams, help Father there on either side, and he had a long line. And I had just walked up in the altar, and he was praying over a girl who was totally dissolved in tears. Totally. She was sobbing and sobbing and sobbing. Father didn't have the time, you know, to complete his prayer over her. The line was so long. So I grabbed her by the arm and took her down the step from the altar to the middle of the church. And our prayer team people, they have a sense. They came over and they started to pray, and we were praying, and she kept sobbing. It was getting deeper and deeper, and the healing, you know, was going deeper and deeper. So I finally said to her, "Zen, what is it?" She said, "My mother rejected me. She never loved me when I was born. She never bonded with me. and she kept crying. It wasn't long after I put her head on my shoulder. And it wasn't long after that that I held her in my arms. Now, the girls were still interceding right around us. And as I held her, I realized her mother had never rocked her. So I held her tight, and I rocked her, and I rocked her, and I rocked her. And she cried, and she cried, and I cried, and we all cried. And then there was stillness. And she said, quote, "For the first time in my life, I feel love." The next day, the telephone rings. She had twin boys, 17 years old, and they said, "Mom, you're different. You're different." That night, she said, "I used to hate to cook. I cooked the best meal for my family I ever cooked." She's a whole new creation. Mm-hmm. And at Christmas, we got a note from her saying, "I'm healing all the time."
Isn't that beautiful?
That's just amazing.
God's so love.
There's physical, there's emotional, but that was God's love. I think that's about all. I feel love. How wonderful. If we could, I was reading something recently about feeling love. If we could only feel, and we do, just accept the fact that Father, Son, and Spirit is holding you, healing you, holding you in their arms. Hold on to that feeling. And every time you need healing, every time you're broken, every time you're hurt, every time you're mourning, every time you feel nothing, open yourselves up to the arms of God, and He heals you.
Yes, He does. Yes, He does.
And that healing comes in many ways. It may, as you said, may not be a physical healing, but it could be a mental healing. And there are fruits to all things that God does. And of course, it's in God's hands.
Always.
Always. Yeah.
And this girl said that she's never really felt true peace until that healing began in her whole lifetime. Here's a girl in her 40s or 50s maybe. Never felt any peace. And then that night, that the liturgy first, the Eucharist, every rite facet was there for her. It was the Mass, the healing prayers of the Mass. The next 2 days, her mother and she reconciled. And her mother's mother, who was her grandmother, still alive, she had done the same thing to her mother. So the third day, it was three generations.
Wow. That's powerful.
It's all true.
You know, you can't hear the song that's playing in the background, but it's the same healing song, but it's being sung in Spanish because God heals across all cultures, across all languages, because He speaks the language of love. And it's the love that heals. The love in you, Marita, the love in you, Tony, my love, when we pray with people, it's God's love. It's Jesus going out right now across these airwaves. We didn't care what language you speak. It's His language of love that's taking over in you right now.
Thank you, Jesus.
Praise Jesus. Praise Jesus.
I'm John Palmer, and this is Tony, and we're wishing you God's love, God's healing. Be back next week, Tony.
Thank you so much for joining us. You brought great joy to our hearts, and we're hoping to see and hear from you next week.
Amen.
God bless us. We would be remiss if we didn't give out some thank yous and appreciations. And our thank yous go out to so many people, but we want to recognize Paul Val Music for writing our theme song, which we'll be presenting next week. Our dear friend Al Barbarino for agreeing to sing that theme song, and he's working so hard on it, and our gratitude and thanks go out to him. And Nick Cervic, who built the most beautiful cross you can ever imagine. We want to thank him for all his hard work, and he gave us a plaque on it to commemorate our opening day, which is today. Thank you. And most importantly, we want to thank Jesus for allowing us to do this. It brings great joy to our hearts. And we want to thank you for listening and for tuning in and becoming our friends. So thank you, thank you, thank you. Also want to mention that we have some early bird petitions, which we've been praying over and will be praying over for the whole week. And we're going to ask you to send us all your petitions. Email them to us. Our email address is listenup1240 at AOL.com. That's listenup, L-I-S-T-E-N-U-P, 1240 at AOL.com. We will look at every email. We will respond, and we're waiting for them. Send them along.
And we want to close now with a very lovely song by Lori Mangano. And the song is, If We Only Have Love. And isn't that what our show was all about? If we only have love.
If we only have love, then tomorrow will dawn, and the days of our years will rise on that morn. If we only have love to embrace without fears, we will kiss with our eyes, we will sleep without tears. If we only have love with our arms open wide, then the young and the old, they will stand at our side. If we only have love, love that's falling like rain, then the parched desert earth will grow. Have love, we can reach those in pain, we can heal all our wounds, we can use our own names. If we only have love, we can melt all the guns and then give the new world to our daughters and sons. If we only have love, then Jerusalem stands, and then death has no shadow, there are no foreign lands.